Are you ready? Because if it's 5 o'clock...
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at...
Number 5.
Drain the NRA! Drain the NRA! Drain the NRA!
Political pressure is growing against the NRA and its allies in the wake of last week's school shooting in Florida. In L.A. today, a grassroots group called Drain the NRA. Oh, I don't know if I ever believe in grassroots anymore. You see what happens on the Facebook?
On the Facebook.
If it's grassroots, it's probably, you know, Putin's idea. I don't know. What is it?
Bot.
Yeah. But they held a rally denouncing. What is interesting, though, is you do see... You saw the emotions, the real, the raw, the true impact, the authentic impact of this from the students and their families and some other folks down in Florida that were like, we just cannot, when is this going to stop?
Yeah.
Because Florida has been struck very dramatically this year. I mean, people, I think, you know, there's so many of these now. You forget about the Texas church shooting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Score dead in that. The Orlando nightclub shooting, right? These things are, you know, there's two, and the weapon of choice is always the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what are we going to do about that? Is there something that's commonsensical about restricting the sale of this particular item? I mean, even some of the most ardent gun supporters, I'm a gun owner. I'm not a member of the NRA. The NRA to me has always been a political arm for it's the weapons lobby. And they, you know, and I don't know that they're always in the right on the positions that they take. I support the Second Amendment. A demented 18-year-old getting his hands on 10 long guns, including the AR-15. I don't understand the need for that.
I have read that they were saying that AR-15 has become so popular because people who aren't as familiar with guns, that's their go-to because they have seen what happens when those are used in mass shootings, and if that's what they have in mind, that becomes their go-to.
Right. It is truly a weapon of war, and then they'll always say to people, well, you know, it's a hunting weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then a politician will be asked, as they were over the last weekend and this weekend, well, do you need that to hunt? And they'll go, well, you know, some hunters do use them. Really? I mean, before 1947, you didn't need it. There were hunters. They were still hunting with rifles.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if you need 30 rounds to be able to take down that deer, you're not particularly good at what you're doing. And it's going to be very hard to get the slugs out of the venison.
It's incredible. And I think that even some people who are big Second Amendment believers are at this point starting to question the need for weapons like that.
Yeah, for that particular... Now, the argument is, well, they'll use something else. Okay.
Right.
All right. But in this particular case, this does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or the bump stock legislation. Who is in favor of the bump stock? Except for people who go, it's fun to have a fully automatic weapon. But the fully automatic weapon is not available. You cannot go buy a fully automatic. You could have an AR-15 that's fully automatic. You can't go buy that. That's not legal. Right? But how is it okay to, if we do that restriction, why can't we make this other restriction?
Right.
I don't understand.
I'm wondering if things are going to change now. Well, first of all, we have these young people who are speaking out and saying we are going to be the last. But once the New York Times did that article kind of calling out all these lawmakers who are getting a lot of money from the NRA, it seems to have resulted in a new awakening. Do you agree with me? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's a viral video of a guy who's owned an AR-15 for 30 years, has the Second Amendment tattooed on his arm, and today he sawed off the barrel of the gun. He says he's done with it. So maybe people who are so dedicated to it and loved it are you know, maybe changing their thoughts a little bit now.
Here is one of the attendees in the LA rally today. This is Jamie Gallo explaining why she's there.
We're here because we have a right to go to school, and because we have a right to go to school without fear of death and without fear of our friends dying, and our parents have the right to send us to school without fear of us dying. Me and my friends, we chose to stand up, and instead of like wallowing in our sadness, we chose to fight, and we're choosing to fight and to say something.
It's going to be a march in Washington coming up, too. So this is a moment, let's just face it. This is the NRA is not protecting gun rights; it's protecting this particular weapon, and it's not just one manufacturer that makes it. It's a style of weapon that is made by a number of different manufacturers. This really is about commerce here, mm-hmm. And there are times in our society in which we have stopped and we've thought, well, maybe that's not the best thing. And it's not taking guns away from, and we're never going to get the ones that are out there off the streets necessarily. Mm-hmm. But this is just about trying to keep. I mean, this kid went out and legally bought 10 guns, and you said today you were interviewing on Fox, right? On mm-hmm. Fox 32. You were interviewing a bunch of people, there's one particular woman about this and about the issue. People want to say that this is about mental illness. I mean, this is not a diagnosably mentally ill young man.
No, he's not. She said he was able to plan everything out methodically, and he had a history of a personality disorder. He did not have a mental illness, that he had a history of starting out with being violent with animals, which she says is a sign that they are not sympathetic toward other people, and has narcissistic tendencies. So she was saying a lot of people are easy to say it's mental health, but she's saying these are personality disorders that we need to deal with, that we're not dealing with. And what I thought was most fascinating was she was saying that it's interesting how this crosses the racial lines. If it is an African-American person, it's gang related. If it's a Muslim, it's terrorism. If it's a white male, it's mental health. So something here is not right.
Right. Because that guy, first of all, this kid actually attended a white supremacist camp for training, for tactical training, when the revolution comes, because that's part of their whole deal.
Right.
And, you know, they go out and they call each other sergeant, and they go out into the woods and they pretend that they have to, you know, live there till they attack the citadel again. That's their whole thing. And you know, you can make the same argument that that's the way that ISIS was recruiting their people. And that's when the guy, the Orlando shooter, declared his allegiance to ISIS. This kid was declaring his allegiance to his own wacky supremacist views. They're all crazy. That guy in Orlando is crazy. He's not a religious zealot. He's a nut, right? And so is this kid, and the church shooter in Texas. What do we do about it? And you can say, well, yeah, at least the guy in Texas was subdued by another guy with a good guy with a gun.
I'm hoping, though, that we are seeing a moment, like you said. We've got these young kids who are saying, this is going to stop here. We have groups now organizing, including a PAC in Illinois that is calling out people who support the NRA and those lawmakers who are not getting money from the NRA. So the fingers are starting to be pointed now, and I wonder now that that's happening, if that'll get people's attention.
It's not just the money that the lawmakers get from the NRA. They don't want to be. They're afraid that they're going to get primaried by the NRA, that the NRA is going to find somebody who's going to run against them. They're going to fund that person so that the incumbent will lose their job. And that's a reality, because they've done
absolutely.
That for over and over and over again. And that's what scares these guys. So that's the men and women. So that's the real issue here. Mm-hmm. All right. Stay right there. We'll get to your 4, 3, 2, and 1. All right, we continue on here at the top 5 at 5. We didn't get very far, and this is Sylvia Perez's fault, who's filling in for Anna DeVlantis today.
My fault.
Mm-hmm. Checking in at
number 4.
Rex Tillerson appeared on 60 Minutes last night to assure the nation that he is going to do the very best job that he possibly can addressing North Korea's nuclear situation.
Senator Bob Corker, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said, every one of us should pray Rex Tillerson and Jim Mattis are successful over the course of the next 8 to 10 months diplomatically, or our nation is going to be facing one of the greatest military decisions that we face. 8 to 10 months. That's how much time you have to get this done?
I'm going to use all the time available to me. Our diplomatic efforts will continue until that first bomb drops. My job is to never have a reason for the first bomb to drop.
That does not make me feel better. Mm. But Secretary Tillerson, did you actually call the president an effing moron?
Why didn't you deny calling the president a moron?
You know, that's a really old question.
You understand that by not answering the question, some people thought you were confirming the story.
I think I've answered the question.
You think you answered the question?
I've answered the question.
Did you call the president a moron?
I'm not going to dignify the question. We got so many bigger issues that we could be talking about. I'm not from this town. I understand this town likes to talk about a lot of things that are really not important.
Yeah, no, everybody likes to talk about that. Did you call your boss, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, who a lot of other Americans have called him the exact same thing? Did you, in fact, call him that? That is not it, by not answering the question. If you didn't, you go, of course I didn't say that. Right? It's a very simple thing. Not, I won't dignify the question. Well, why would you dignify any question? What's the color of the sky? I won't dignify that question. Oh, sexy Rexy. He was so close. Checking in at
number three.
LeBron James sat down with ESPN to talk about issues and athlete brands. He says that many brands and corporate partnerships have changed their approach when it comes to hearing what the athletes actually say publicly.
No matter how far money or access or how you become in life as an African-American man, female, they will always try to figure out a way to let you know that you're still beneath them. And it's either one or two things at that point. You either cave in to that notion or you just chalk it up and say, you know what? I'm going to paint over this gate and I'm going to make it taller.
Well, I have found this to be the case, as in any kind of an anybody, of as a doughy white guy. I found this to be true, and I'm sure that women of all stripes, men of all stripes find this to be true. When people are paying you money, they demand certain things, and sometimes they don't treat you like a partner. They treat you like you work for them. And that's just kind of the way that goes. Although I found this very interesting. Now, you know, he's in that public kerfuffle with Laura Ingraham from Fox News Channel. And, you know, she was like, just shut up and dribble. Which is, I mean, how schoolyardy. Again, really? Is there going to be a point in which we get out of third grade here in this country? Mm-hmm. But she now, and he was like, I'm not going to shut up and dribble. He's, first of all, worth $1 billion, by the way, close to $1 billion. And I know that, you know, maybe for Laura Ingraham, who thinks that Donald Trump is a genius because he's worth $4 billion or so he claims, that maybe that means something to her. But now she's invited him on her show.
Right. I saw that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, the whole thing was just about, yeah, I got your attention now.
Right.
Would you like to come on my show? Oh, God. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Welcome to the year 2018, when political journalists find themselves turning to Celebrity Big Brother to find out what's actually happening in Washington. Oh, my God. Omarosa continues. She won't let it go,
okay,
will she?
What does she say
How
now?
Often is this? Is this show on, like, every night? How often is show on? Three times a week.
No, that
yes.
much? Really?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
Well, that's because Julie Chen has to have something to do.
She's on the talk.
Yeah, okay. There are benefits to marrying the boss. Anyway, the point is, I got to figure out how Todd's going to let me marry him. I don't know how that's going to happen. All right, anyway, should I just let this speak for itself, or do I have to set it up? All right, hold on, I got to set this up. All right, here we go. She's been enjoying her notoriety. And especially amongst her fellow competitors in a Big Brother house. She was taken aback when her fellow contestant, Real Housewife of Beverly Hills alum Brandi Glanville, asked her,
did you ever sleep with him?
With who?
Well,
hell no. Oh my God, Brandi, that's horrible.
Apparently a lot of girls do.
Well, I'm not. Now, there is somebody in the way who's sleeping around with everybody, but she is not me.
Wait. What is she acknowledging there?
There's somebody in the White House.
Somebody in the White House is sleeping around. But not with Trump. So she's not saying that.
She said with everybody.
With everybody. Well, I think we kind of know who she might be alluding to. Since it ended up in the Bob Mueller. She found her way twice into the Bob Mueller investigation. And one time for herself. And then two times for two other guys she was dating. Oh, I don't know. These poor kids.
Ugh.
I know. She's like Violetta's age.
Who?
Hope Hicks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. And quite honestly, do I really? I didn't want to have to care about Omarosa when it didn't count. Right? Why do I have to? Why does it have to count now?
She keeps making news on that show.
Well, she does because she was there. Because they put her in the White House.
She sounds jealous.
Because Donald Trump won the election. Did you hear this? Hold on.
Number one.
Oh, boy. We played a little bit of this earlier. You know, it's a big thing to be invited to, you know, a major event, an All-Star game or a Super Bowl or something, to sing the national anthem. And sometimes the stage just gets really too big. And sometimes you decide, well, I got to do something different. Because especially the NBA All-Star game, because as you'll recall, one of the most famous renditions of the national anthem, Marvin Gaye, right, doing the sexual healing version of it, which is, I mean, an absolute classic. But Marvin Gaye got away with it. He could get away with it. He did it, was different enough, and it was beautifully performed. And even though there were a lot of people that were like, well, that's not appropriate, it still, but it was so interesting. There have been a couple other attempts. Fergie's was not one of them.
Oh, say, does that star spangled banner yet way?
Oh, God.
For the land.
Make it stop.
Oh, just stick to the script with the anthem.
You see the players like trying not to laugh?
Yeah.
And then when you try to make yourself not laugh, you laugh even harder?
You guys are saying that because she's a girl.
No.
Marvin Gaye got away with changing it because he didn't make it sexy.
But it was good. That was a difference.
Wait, do we have the Marvin Gaye version if we're going to talk about
it? Hold on. We have the Bleeding Gums Murphy version from The Simpsons, which I think is about the same.
And the rockets red glare. The bombs burst and shoot it off, popping whip in the air.
See, but that was, see, that was satire.
Right.
See, that was supposed to be bad. That was on The Simpsons. Who also predicted that Donald Trump was going to be president of the United States, as you'll recall.
Yes.
In 2000, they predicted that. All right. I just got to... well, you know, I'll play the Marvin Gaye thing on the other side. Okay. So that you can actually hear what that... Because that was good. See? And we're going to prove Violetta wrong here, which is not hard to do.
The top five at five.